Hey guys, welcome back to Tea Talks with Lex. I'm so excited to be sitting down and doing this podcast. I get to spend more time on this in the summer, which I've been looking forward to because this is truly my passion project. We have a lot to talk to you guys about today. A lot. Two things from New York, four things from elsewhere, and I'm really, really excited to talk to you guys about those things. But before we begin, I want to have a little conversation with teachers and parents and anyone that wants to listen to this part of the podcast, because I feel like there's two groups that are super, super loud right now when it comes to education. And I feel like there's this middle ground that's not really being spoken to. I feel like we're seeing the two loud minorities all over social media. And I feel like there's this middle ground of teachers that like truly care and truly want to be there, like myself, and are struggling. And I don't feel like we're having the same conversation that we should be having. Now, I want to preface this by saying I'm not going to get into the weeds today about curriculum or about those things. I just want to talk, because we are going to get there this summer. We're going to get to curriculum conversations. We're going to get to all these things that are being brought into schools, things that are not. We're going to get there. But right now, I just want to kind of recap the school year and have a discussion with some of the things that I've been seeing, especially those that are floating around online about various things. So I feel like we need to start there. So before I begin this, I want to say teachers, educators, paraprofessionals, principals, please enjoy your summer break. We have earned the right to enjoy it. There are a lot of things that we're probably reflecting on. There's a lot of things that we're looking at when it comes to the school year next year and debating what route to go. And I feel like we need to take this moment, now that the school year's over, pause, take some relaxation time, and then look at it. Because right now, feelings may be a little strong, emotions may be a little high. I know that when I saw a couple things recently in the news, I flew off the handle. Like, let's be honest, we are under a microscope, our education system, and that has come as a price for some of us. And I don't necessarily know that that's fair that we're all being lumped together, but it's happening anyways. So let's have a little discussy-scush about the school year. Let's be honest, the school year was hard. I don't know if any other teacher's feeling this way, but I know I am. Since COVID, I feel like the school years have just gotten steadily worse. I feel like we're all kind of in this rut of chaos. I don't know how else to explain it. And we can't seem to dig ourselves out of it. That is something that I've been really feeling. And I know that a lot of us are struggling because this year was so hard and years prior have been hard. Behaviors are out of control. Parents, some of them are really screaming the loudest. And I will say, as a parent myself, I feel like the parents that are screaming the loudest are the minority for a lot of things. That's just my opinion. I know that we are having a hard time because we don't feel like administration, Board of Education's, and people making all kinds of decisions have our back in regards to how we are supposed to handle X, Y, and Z. I also feel like we have various districts and various different rules and various different issues going on, and I feel like we're all handling them different. And sometimes I wish that they would just put out like a blanket statement from the state being like, this is what you need to do about X, Y, and Z. And I know that's not feasible, but sometimes I just, like, especially in New York, I look at my governor and I'm like, could you open your mouth? Like, could you defend us just a little bit? Like, just a little bit. It's been a year, and I will admit I am one of those educators struggling right now. I'm really struggling. And I truly believe I would be struggling regardless of the state that I was in. So I just want to clarify that, because usually when I bring up the fact that I'm struggling, there's a lot of comments about the fact that I live in New York. But I'm not going to go there with you right now. There's a lot of things that we need to talk in regards to education, but I'm not going to dive deep in those today, because today I just want to focus on the year. Behaviors are out of control. Let's just be honest. These kids are having a hard time. I don't know what the solution is there. I feel like parents and teachers are not on the same page. I feel like teachers are being attacked left and right by, legislators who probably have never spent a day in a classroom, and parents who, whether they care or not, because I was a parent that cared and I was on my son's teacher, but I care. Like, I just feel like there's a lot going on in that regard, and I feel like we all need to be on the same page. I also feel that there's this large minority of teachers that have taken the control of the narrative of things, and I feel like that's not fair to those of us that actually care and want to be there. It's really hard to be in education right now. It really is. And, you know, there's a lot of things being introduced into education that we don't agree with, but they don't listen to us. Like, I feel like there's this misconception when it comes to teaching that teachers, like, make the curriculum, or teachers are involved in those decisions. We're not. We're told what to do. Like, we have master's degrees. Like, we get our degree, we get our master's in education to teach, to do the things that we need to do, and we're ignored. 99.9% of the time, we are ignored. Like, they don't care what comes out of our mouth. They don't care if we say this curriculum is garbage or this curriculum is inappropriate. Like, they don't care. All they heard was us complaining about something. They don't care. They didn't care when they brought out Regents exams and teachers screamed from the rafters that state testing does nothing for our children. It only took, what, 10 years for the pendulum to swing back the other way and New York State dropped the Regents exams. Like, they don't listen to us. They don't listen to us. And it's super, super hard and super frustrating because we're the ones in the classroom. Like, trust me and believe me, I had 20 kids this year who I loved with all of my heart and spent so much time teaching these kids, spent so much time going, taking a small group of the kids that were struggling and working with them to fix the problem. Like, I spent so much time and I loved every minute of it. But what was completely frustrating was seeing the constant, like, I'm trying to help these kids, and we're not getting any support. Not from the people in above us in a lot of areas and the parents. It's so frustrating to be stuck in this situation and having no one listen. So when people say, oh, it's the teachers, no, we don't get to make any decisions. We don't even get to decide what we hang on our walls. Okay, we don't even get to decide what room we get. Like, we don't get control over our heat. Like, do you guys understand that we don't have control over the heat, the AC, so many things, and you seem to think we have control over curriculum and control over this? We don't. We don't. So please, please think of that the next time you open your mouth, because we are trying so hard. There are a lot of us that speak in meetings that we say, this curriculum is garbage, or this curriculum is inappropriate, and we're ignored. Or why did we cut out X, Y, and Z? Like, there was this push in New York State to get rid of science and social studies. Now we only do science and social studies, like, once a week. We complained about it, and they ignored us. Like, they ignore us. Like, please, if you take anything away from this podcast today, please take away the fact that as educators, we are ignored 99.9% of the time. And it's exhausting. Dealing with it is exhausting. It's truly, 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 truly exhausting. So to my educators out there that are struggling like me, I know that you're at a crossroads right now. And I know that you love these kids more than anything in the world and that you are there because you want to be there for the kids. I know that there's so much outside noise right now. And trust me, I'm one of the few that is slowly losing my cool and slowly raising my blood pressure over a lot of things that are happening. But we have to remind ourselves one thing, okay? One thing. The kids this year, they did not care about any of that background noise, okay? They did not care about the conversations you were having with admin. They did not care that things were hard. They did not care that you sat through meetings where you felt more frustrated in that meeting than out. They did not care that you sat through professional development that was a waste of your time. They do not care that you wrote a letter to this congressman or this legislator about X, Y, and Z. They saw none of that. What they saw was a teacher who showed up for them every single day, even when it was hard. They saw a teacher that cared about their learning. And for me, I try to remember the reason I do it, because when a light bulb goes off in a kid's head, the feeling they get when they finally get an answer to a problem they've been struggling on is something that no parent, no administrator, and no legislator can take from me. Is that moment of when I see a kid with their light with the light bulb going off, realizing that they finally understood something that I have been teaching them all year and that they've been struggling with. That feeling they can't take from me. Yes, all that outside noise is frustrating, is all, excuse my language, hell. All these teachers on social media recording kids in their classroom, complaining about kids on the internet, sharing way too much about what they do in their private life, and in my opinion, share way too much about their private life, doing all those things. Yes, they are super loud and they are super frustrating. But this year was incredibly hard, incredibly hard. But having one kid come up to me and say on the last day that I would have never gotten through math without your extra help, because I stayed after with this kid with the door open before anybody comes for me and with parent permission, and we worked on math every single day for 30 minutes, okay? Because I was that kid who struggled with math. And I know how hard that is to be the kid struggling and feeling behind from your friends because you can't get a simple concept. So I did. So I stayed after with that kid. That kid, by the end of the year, had the highest math score in all of my class. And I would do it again just for him to see the light bulb go off and for him to see that he is capable of doing things. I had a kid that I emotionally understood this year way more than my other kids. Having a deployed father is something I know all too well. I went above and beyond this year to help her emotionally. I got her a countdown for the end of the year because her dad came home at the end of summer. So many things, okay? Those two kids thanked me. That girl whose dad was deployed said, Thank you for showing me that it's okay to be upset and that it's okay to miss my dad. I have had conversations with that mother, not with her, about how much I understand what she's going through. So yes, it was a hard year. Yes, it was an emotional year. Yes, I've wanted to quit. Yes, I've contemplated packing up my classroom. As I was contemplating this and packing up my classroom for the summer, I contemplated not coming back next year. Because I don't know if I belong in the classroom anymore, and I don't know if I can teach certain things. But I do know one thing. I'm returning in September. If I'm staying in education, I don't know. I'm going to be frank with you. I don't know. And the reason is that because of all this outside noise, because of all this nonsense, I just don't know, me being such an emotionally person who understands emotion, who is very much an empath, I don't know if I have it in me. I don't know if I have it in me to keep getting berated for my career choice. I just don't know if I can do it. I don't know if I can take constantly defending my profession anymore. I just don't know if I can do it. I love the kids and I love it and I love being in the classroom. Like, when I tell you I love the classroom, I love the classroom. Like, if I could spend all summer in my classroom making it the way I wanted to without a single freaking rule, I would absolutely do it. Okay? Like, I enjoy spending my time making things for this curriculum or that curriculum or making this for the kids. And like, I truly enjoy that, okay? And I also enjoy having one-on-one conversations with these kids, hearing about their day, having them share their emotions with me. How are you feeling? I ask that every single day. Like, I truly enjoy those things, and I truly enjoy helping kids, but I don't know if the classroom's the right fit for that anymore. I'm really struggling with the behaviors and dealing with all those things. So I'm going to be honest with you. I am reflecting. I am looking at my career choice. But I am returning in September because I signed a contract. And I will never, one thing about me is I will never back out of my word. So where do I go from here? I don't know. But I do know one thing. The school year was hard, but I had a great school year. And I'm going to take away the positive instead of the negative. And enjoy my summer. And all I want to say is I hope you enjoy your summer too. Because we deserve that. We worked really, really hard all year. And it's okay to be burned out. And it's okay to be drained. And it's okay to need a minute before you figure out what you're going to do. Or like in my situation. Or before you begin working on the next year. It's okay to take a minute. And it's okay if you're frustrated with the outside noise like I am, because our feelings are valid too. And it can be really hard to be in this situation. So that's my little tangent for my teachers. I hope that helped you. I hope that was some sort of a pep talk. I don't really know if that was 100% a pep talk, but take of it what you will. So now let's get into this stuff. So I think we're going to start with actually some education news. There is two, I think, that I have in here. Yes. So we're going to, well, one's technically social media, one's not technically, but it's part of education. So I want to talk to you guys about this thing in New York City, because when I saw this, I was like, oh my gosh, they're finally doing something to help these kids. Because as somebody who has a special needs child, my child is falling through the cracks, I feel, 99.9% of the time. If it wasn't for me, I don't know if they would. So it basically says, let me just read you the title of it. It says, NYC Schools Restructuring, a new deputy chancellor for students with disabilities and English learners. Which, whether we agree with immigration or not, let's just be honest, most of our population currently in New York, a lot of it is immigrants. So we do need to put something in place to help these kids. I don't feel that these kids should fall through the cracks just because their parents came here. You know, that's just my opinion. I always say, even to my own kid, that, like, my priority is the children of the future, including him, not the adults. So, I don't know. That's just my little thing. Okay, so the first line it says, New York City's Education Department is creating a new division to support students with disabilities and children learning English as a second language, officials announced Monday. So I do think that it's important that we are creating more support for our children with disabilities, because I do feel they're falling through the cracks. And I do feel our ENL kids are falling through the cracks. The thing that, like, makes me concerned about this is that, does this person have an education degree? Because a lot of the time, the people that get put here haven't been in the classroom in forever, so that concerns me. It says, the Division of Inclusion and Accessibility Learning will be led by Christina Foti, who is being promoted from her role as Chief of Special Education, where she has earned accolades for advocates and families. Well, that's promising. I mean, I'm always skeptical of these people that are, like, put in these positions because it doesn't feel like they really do much for education except make our life, except make teachers' lives more difficult. That's just my preference, but we'll see. Mayor Adams first announced the move Monday on a daily op-ed. That's a lot of money. I hope that it's being audited and tracked and being used properly, because I feel like funding never is in education. They gave the program $750 million, which is great. But again, like, are we making sure that this is getting used properly is a big concern for me as somebody who works in education and sees how funding is not adequately distributed. So that's something that I feel like needs to be talked about as well. So maybe I'll do a podcast on just that, like educational funding. I do have somebody who's going to be a guest soon. I invited her. Let me see if she actually responded to my recent text message, my recent TikTok message. I invited her on my podcast, which I'm super duper excited about. She agreed. What have you. She's actually one of my favorite principals to watch. So if you're ever looking for, like, if you're a teacher or a non-teacher and you want somebody who just truly cares about education, she's your girl. She's the Nacho Average Principal. Like, I truly, truly love her. Her content is amazing. And this is kind of, like, stuff that she talks about, which I would love to have her on to have this conversation about this. And they hired 1,300 staffers. So that's not terrible. And basically, pulling staff and funding that were already directed towards students with disabilities and English language learners but were housed in a different part of the educational department bureaucracy. I don't know about that. We'll see. The City Special Education Advisory Council, composed of parents, students, educators, and advocates. That would be a really cool idea to bring here. Like, I feel that there should be more of that. Like, because education is supposed to be a collaboration, not administrators versus teachers and teachers versus parents. Like, it's not supposed to be that way, and it's become that way. And I really feel like that would be super helpful to all of us. We're going to give it our all, Adams said Monday. I don't know if I trust Eric Adams, but we'll go with that. We've heard it over and over again about this population of achievers who are not given the opportunity that they deserve. That I will fully agree with. I fully agree with that special education is not given the tools to succeed. 100% will agree. Don't feel like dealing with all. None of that's relevant. Roughly 21% of the students in New York City have classified as having disabilities and requiring special education services through an individualized education programs or IEP, according to data from 2022-2023 school year. I feel like that's going to be higher this year, to be honest with you. I know in my district there's such a need, and it's increased, and we don't have enough therapists, so I'd be interested to see if that increased this year. And about 14% of the students across the five boroughs are learning English as a second as a new language. Again, I feel like that's going to be on the rise just because of the border. Under Adams, the Education Department has some reforms to special education, including modestly expanding programs that serve students with autism. See, this is my problem with things like this. They're all like, yes, we want to help the kids. Yes, let's give them more funding. But the children that need the most help, which are special education students, have like a very slim margin of things that they're actually getting. Like, this is my frustration, especially like as a special needs mom. Like, this is why I get so frustrated, because we'll use my child as an example. My child takes OT and speech, okay? He gets speech 2 times a week. He gets OT once a week. He needs more OT, but they don't have enough therapists to do so. So now I have to outsource it from the insurance. Like, this is the stuff that I mean. But some of Adam's highest profile efforts have fallen short. A major promise to provide to provide every student with a disability to access a preschool seat has gone unfulfilled. This is what I mean. I knew my blood pressure was going to be raised after reading this. Hundreds of children are still languishing without one, despite a legal requirement to offer them seats. I think what everyone forgets in regards to special education is that there's laws on the books. Did you hear that, education officials? There's laws on the books that require you to follow an IEP and require you to provide education. Like, okay. And even after a school's chief promised to comply with a federal court order to address lengthy delays in providing services to families, the city has not fully implemented most of the order's requirements. What in the world are you doing, Eric Adams? This is great that you're providing funding, but you clearly have issues you need to deal with. This is why you irritate me, Eric Adams. You tout yourself out there like you're doing a gosh darn good job, and this is bullshit. I'm not even going to read any of the continuous educations, like the ENL kids, because right now, Paulette Healy, an advocate and a parent of a child in District 75, which exclusively serves students with disabilities, said Foti's promotion was a long time coming. See, that's another issue. When a parent touts someone who's great, I don't know. I don't trust any of them when it comes to special education. I just don't. So that's the end of the article. I hope that things will get better for special education, but I don't see it. Again, I love that they're providing funding, but there's other issues that need to be dealt with. And when you first read it, you're like, yay, funding, yay, help. And then you go further into it and you just realize how many other underlying issues there is going on in that city. And this is just one example of special education in New York. Okay, let's go to the other lady that loves to raise my blood pressure. Hochul on New York social media law. Now, I want to be clear on something. I love social media. Obviously, I do a podcast, my Instagram, my TikTok. I'm always on my social media. Like, social media is my outlet. But I want to be clear on something. My child's not on social media. And if I do share my child, which is very rare, I only do it on specific things. Like I did the last day of school today, and I did the first day of school. I don't show my child very much because my job is to protect him, okay? She says, the article headline is Hochul on New York State Education, Social Media Law. Sorry. You cannot turn a blind eye to trauma that has been inflicted on our children. I'm a little confused as to what trauma she's referring to. I know there's a lot of drama when it comes to teens and social media. I don't know how much of that really touts down to the elementary level. I work in a first grade classroom. Like, I'm early childhood. Like, social media is not really a thing that we have to address in the room. I mean, there are conversations that, like, I've had to have with parents, like, hey, they mentioned a TikTok, like, you might just want to talk to them, because I know it's not, like, my place to, like, and obviously I shut it down in my classroom, but it's not my place to have, like, a conversation about, like, if they should be seeing anything, but I know my child doesn't see anything that I watch in social media, and he's got parental controls on everything when it comes to streaming. So New York Governor Kathy Hochul pushed back on some criticism. She's always got something to say. Whether she's being criticized or praised, she's always got to open her mouth. I will say that. Criticism on the new social media laws that she signed last week to address the impact it could have on children's mental health. You cannot turn a blind eye that it's being inflicted on our children, especially young teenagers today, a seminal point in their lives. They are being bombarded with instantly addictive algorithms to put into dark space and hold them captive. I feel like that's still the parent's responsibility, not necessarily hers, but that's just my opinion. Hochul signed two social media laws last week that will regulate social media companies provide addictive features to children and how they collect and use data from minors. She also said Sunday that she absolutely believes the laws will be held up in court. I don't know if they will be, to be honest with you, because I don't know. Like, I don't know really if that would necessarily, like, fly. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how the law works with that, so I don't know if it would be held up in court or not. She says it's under the Safe for Kids Act. Again, I don't know if it would really, I don't know. I'm not a judge or a lawyer. Social media platforms will be prevented from offering addictive features to children without parental consent. See, that's the thing. Like, this is about parents being parents and monitoring social media. Not, I don't know why she feels the need to put it into a law to make it happen, but whatever. The companies will also be barred from collecting, using, or selling personal data of kids and teens without consent under the Child Data Protection Act. Now, that I can get behind. To be honest with you, they shouldn't be sharing our children's data. They shouldn't even be sharing ours, but that's a whole nother conversation. Hochul said she sat down with young people and... I don't feel like reading the rest of it. I mean, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I give Governor Hochul a lot of crap for her stuff, but that might actually be a good one. So now we're going to get into the loveliness that is federal conversations. Well, actually, there's one more kind of New Yorkish one, but it's not New York. So something that I found today that I thought was interesting was that Trump's classified documents case in Florida was coming through, and that the prosecutor stated their case apparently yesterday, which I thought was interesting information because I didn't see it until this morning. So obviously we know that there's a classified document case in Florida about Trump. U.S. District Judge, oh, this is about the gag order. So this was on Monday to modify former President Trump's release conditions to include a restriction on his speech. And then Trump did testify. And then they asked for a temporary gag order on the documents case, which Trump is already under two gag orders. So this would be the third gag order that he's on. So, like, let's just be very clear on something. Like, you are putting a president, who once former president, who's running for re-election under a gag order that is not allowing you to speak in any way, shape, or form about anything. How the hell is this man supposed to debate? Although, in all honesty, we're going to talk about the debates in a second, so we'll get there. But, like, the fact that they keep putting a gag order on this man is really annoying to me. Listen, I get it that he's charged with X, Y, and Z, but the gag order is supposed to be for the other side, too, and the other side's not shutting up. So, why are you not gagging both? That's my issue with that. Okay. I want to get to the good thing here that I, like, the things that I really want to, like, run. Actually, wait, there's one more thing about the conviction. So my former governor opened his mouth the other day. I thought Andrew Cuomo was gone. Apparently he reappeared, and he reappeared on Fox News of all places. I'm sorry, he did an HBO Real Time, I guess. It says in the article, Andrew Cuomo makes a rare public appearance at Capitol Hill after years of laying low. Which is weird to me. Like, what are you trying to do, sir? You have so many things that I want to talk to you about. Don't even try to be running for nothing, Andrew. Don't even be trying to run for nothing, sir. I will come for you faster than you could count to 10. Don't be trying to do nothing. See, this man raises my blood pressure, too. Former Democratic governor recently told HBO host Bill Maher that if the former president weren't, President Trump weren't running for president, he would have never been prosecuted in the state for his hush money payments. Holy crap, Governor Cuomo is making sense. The world is ending. The governor is making sense. The former governor stated on HBO's Real Time on Friday, agreeing with the host that the New York District Attorney should not have brought the case against Trump because it reeks of politicalization. The Attorney General's case in New York, frankly, should have never been brought. Cuomo declared on air, nothing that the state residents who don't even like Trump are offended by, because it looks like weaponization of the judicial system. When the Democrat starts making sense. Governor Cuomo's case, the trials in New York said 66% said the justice system is politicized, and there's nobody in New York who likes Trump. And it's still 66 said the justice system is politicized. That's why he thinks he's not paying the same price for these verdicts, because they believe it's political. The fact that he said nobody in New York who likes Trump is, you must not be spending a lot of time in your own state, Governor. La, la, la. Then they talks about how he got out of here. And you want to talk about a threat to democracy? When you have this country believing you're playing politics with the justice system, you're going to try and put people in a jail or convict them for political reasons, then we have a real problem, he said. When he starts making sense, I know the world's coming to an end. Because this man doesn't make sense. He also said, if his name was not Donald Trump and he wasn't running for president, I'm the former AG of New York and I'm telling you that case would have never been brought. And that's what's offensive to people. And it should be. Because if there's anything left, it's the belief in the justice system. This guy is making sense. I can't. Okay, so let me just say one thing very clear. I cannot stand Governor Cuomo. If there is one person on this earth that I want to have a conversation with a lie detector attached to him, it's this man. Because I have so many questions, Mr. Former Governor, about your nursing home scandal. I want to talk to you. As a daughter of a nurse who works in a nursing home, I want to talk to you. Okay? Firstly, and I can't believe I'm saying this because I am critical of the man. Okay? Like, let's forget his sexual assaults for a minute. Like, the nursing home thing alone, I would never want to see you in a dark alley. Okay? Like, let's just be clear. I would never touch you, but I don't want to see you in a dark alley, because if I could just hit you once, I would. Okay? Number two. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I, for once in my life, agree with Andrew Cuomo. The world is ending, okay? Because I agree with the man. He's right. This would have never been prosecuted if he wasn't running for president. Rich men get away with bullshit all the time, okay? Let's just be real. Rich men get away with financial crimes. Rich men get away with bullshit all the time when it comes to money. Rich men have signed NDAs all the time, okay? It's not a secret. So I'm not surprised, okay? That's all I got to say. Now the next two. One has to deal with Fauci, one has to deal with Trump. If you haven't seen already, the upset embassy and CNN host cuts off a Trump spokesperson when she's talking about Jake Tapper. You've all seen the video by now. I just want to say one thing to this lady. If you think that helped your case about you people being fair and just to Donald Trump, you shut down his spokesperson and pulled it off the air. That did nothing for you except prove that we're right. You're not going to let Donald Trump talk. And that's all that tells me. We're going to get to Dr. Fauci because this is the last thing about schools. And I wanted to talk about this as someone who works in education, okay? Okay, so this article was from June 23rd, where he talks about how long, so basically it starts with how long you kept it was a problem, because there was a disparity through the county. He said, if you go back and look at YouTube, I keep on saying, close the bars, open the schools. Open the schools as quickly and safely as you possibly can. But initially, to close it down was correct. Keeping it for a year was not a good idea. So basically, that's what Fauci had to say. He basically said that he was correct in the beginning to shut it down, but he handled it, but it should not have been a long whole, like, year close down of things. He also said that lengthy school closures contributed to, I'm sorry, somebody else, as noted by Anthony Lynch at the National Review, lengthy school closures contributed to generational learning loss, reflection in generational declines in reading and math test scores, which, as an educator, that actually happened. So, and that's something that they don't like to talk about, is that. So, Fauci just finally admitted the truth. I'm not surprised that he admitted the truth. I wish he would have done it sooner, because there are kids who lost a lot of learning, especially those with special education, that could have benefited from being in school 5 days a week and could have benefited for no masks sooner, especially in New York State where it was forced. I don't feel that the way Governor Cuomo handled education in New York would have necessarily been any different. The man didn't believe in brick and mortar schools. I think we all learned that virtual learning is that. So I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. My first episode really, really back. I'm excited to do more, and I will see you guys very soon. I hope you have a great day, and yeah, that's all for now.